1990, signed for Mainz and 18th league title. 2005, Champions League winners. 2008, Borussia Dortmund manager. 2015, Liverpool manager. 2019, Champions League champions. 2020, Premier League champions. Jürgen Klopp, Germany's greatest export. Hashtag C4 Klopp. Views of Liverpool. Narrated by David Morrissey.
I had a strange dream last night. I was just starting out.
You got any ciggies?
Nah.
Any money?
5p.
It's enough for a phone call.
Then I was at Anfield. John Barnes to win the league.
Here goes the newly crowned footballer of the year. 2-1.
I was in the changing room, popping champagne. Blurs of people and images flashed before me.
Robbie Fowler! Michael Owen!
Man United winning league after league.
It's an awful moment for the Liverpool skipper.
Glimpses of Istanbul. The words of Gerard and Dalglish echoed around my head.
It's a place that will always be in my heart.
By the way, it's a much better life when you're successful.
The proud statue of Bill Shankly outside Anfield Stadium. Swirling clouds above.
Then I was all alone. No ferries, just the seagulls.
Experts fear it could become a pandemic.
I walked on in my dream through the empty streets of Liverpool.
Doc reckons it's going to be touch and go. Reckons it's this virus thing that's doing the rounds.
Oh, God, not another one.
The dream became a nightmare.
The coronavirus has come to Britain.
This is the worst public health crisis for a generation.
Then the storm parted.
The final thing for me to do is to introduce the new manager of Liverpool.
And there he was. The big German with the reassuring smile.
This club is already full of history.
His head held high.
We have to write our own history.
Hope filled my heart.
Stop!
A series of alarm clocks going off.
I woke up. Back to reality.
I love football, and I think all the Liverpool fans love football. So that's the thing we have together.
Real life.
Definitely not Man United off the pitch.
Even more bizarre. More emotional. Even more fantastic.
You have to change from doubter to believer.
Even more thrilling than any dream.
The You'll Never Walk Alone gate. Jürgen Klopp, Germany's greatest export. The Liver Building.
This is a story that began in 1990, when a great football dynasty was coming to an end. And the man who now holds the destiny of that club, well, he was just a nobody signing for a small team in Germany.
From a black and white photo of Klopp to an aerial view of the Brandenburg Gate, Deutschland 1990. News footage of the Berlin Wall coming down.
At the end of the 1980s, something huge was happening in Europe. Germany was reborn.
I think now it's time to break the wall down, you know.
The year before the Berlin Wall came down, we watched from our TVs in Liverpool. A sense of unity and hope echoed around the world.
The chant went up, Mauer weg, done with the wall.
Brick by brick, in a wave of euphoria, young German people from East and West Germany converged on the foundations of the wall and played techno music, one big demolition party.
The changes of the past months have set new trends which cannot now be reversed.
Fireworks exploding above the Brandenburg Gate.
This was a new generation of bright young Germans with bright futures. Amongst them, a young man growing up in a village called Glatten.
I think Jürgen was always in love with football growing up in the Black Forest. His parents, his siblings tell stories of him smashing up the furniture, kicking the ball around, playing as a goalkeeper, playing as a striker. And I think his father, who'd had a trial at Kaiserslautern and failed to make it as a pro, then saw Jürgen as the guy that maybe could fulfill his dreams.
Germany's reunification was confirmed in 1990, a country full of new ideas and potential. Their first global statement was on the football pitch. Germany became world champions, inspired by a dashing striker called Jürgen.
And now it's 2-0 through Jürgen Klinsmann. Klinsmann lifts the World Cup.
Meanwhile, far, far, far further down the German football ladder, another Jürgen, a 23-year-old, was signing for Mainz, a team in the second tier of German football who like to sing "You'll Never Walk Alone."
Flying over the historic city. In tall red letters, Mainz 1990. Jürgen Klinsmann, German World Cup winner.
His background is very humble. He grew up in my neighborhood, kind of close to Stuttgart. He's always been a people person. Mainz is a people's club. It's actually a carnival's club. So people that constantly joke, constantly are in a good mood, they're constantly partying. So his whole life basically was always very, very closely connected to the people. So he's a people's person.
He didn't know whether he'd have a professional career in football. And if he had one, he didn't know how long it would last. He had a family to support, so he was always thinking about what else he could do, studied sports science, because that would be something to fall back on. Actually, that's come in handy for him now.
I think he's not one of those guys who was necessarily driven by the need to win everything. For him, the drive came from almost a more existentialist place, whereby he would have been on the street if Mainz would have been relegated, if he would have not get another contract. So the need to stay in the team, the need to keep going, I think that's where the real drive came from, and from the real need to perform to the maximum of his abilities, which were not that great.
At 25, Jürgen Klopp couldn't hope to rely on a career in football. All options were being considered. He looked more likely to win the lottery than ever managing Liverpool.
For these three contestants today, you lose millions. The game show host says, we begin with Jürgen. Jürgen, what do you do as a career?
Jürgen, was machst du hauptberuflich?
I'm a professional footballer. You play with FC Bayern as a centre forward. No, you play for Mainz 05 in the Bundesliga 2. So canteen team, ZDF Mainz 05. Do you all know them? And you play there in what position? Center forward, and we want to be in the big leagues, like you are in Saturday night programs. The host smiles at Klopp's answer. Now flying over terraced houses. Liverpool, spring 1990. Steven Gerrard, Liverpool 1998 to 2015.
I've been following Liverpool probably since the age of six. All my family are Reds. It's probably around the age where I really started watching full games, getting a flavour for the style of Liverpool. It was a very exciting team, a team that had pace, it had skill, it had goal scorers in it. And the last time Liverpool were champions, so it certainly resonates very strong still to this day.
1981 to 1990, Liverpool were the kings of England. We were nearly always first. Few rare times we slipped down to second to give the others a chance, you know. Dalglish, Barnes, Rush, Hansen, Red Knights. We were in awe.
Sir Kenny Dalglish.
Shanks obviously came in first and set the whole thing up. Bob Paisley, Joe Fagan, Ronnie Moran, old Tom Saunders. When I came to the club, habits, the do's and don'ts were all set in place, and they were easy to follow. Just carry on and do what they did. And there was nobody could come in that dressing room and change, because there was only one or two changes a year, and there was no need to change it.
The Anfield boot room was the stuff of legend, a never-ending assembly line.
It's almost like a religion of the institution of Liverpool. People who basically take the baton off each other to continue that Liverpool way, if you like. going back obviously to Shankly, Paisley, Fagan. It's almost like when you're in, you have a responsibility to keep driving the standards of the club. And then when your time's done, you know, you pass the baton to someone else who continues that legacy.
The world looked longingly on, desperate to know Liverpool's secret.
If you have a secret, you don't tell them. I mean, years ago, it was the same story. People said, what's the secret for Liverpool? Well, there was no secret.
Then in 1989, the game we love also became the stage for unimaginable horror. 96 lives were lost at the Hillsborough tragedy. In the aftermath of 1989, the city united like never before. Everton and Liverpool fans. The Liverpool team of 1990 pushed on to a record 18th title.
Well, Liverpool have done their part.
I said to myself that I would be guided by the people who matter. They're the people who lost loved ones, the bereaved, and if they wanted me to play, I'll play. If they don't want me to play, I won't play. Even when it came to time to going to funerals, I was completely guided by what the people who suffered wanted. But in terms of then opening up to the group about the pressures you're under, how you feel about certain situations, that was just not the done thing. In not just in football, but I suppose in life back.
To me and to many Liverpool fans, this title, Dalglish's title, meant so much more.
That's part of that myth that, you know, you look back and you're so engrossed in that team. It's because the last time that it happened didn't feel like it would be the last time for such a while.
It would be three decades before they won the league again. 30 long years until Jürgen put Liverpool back on top.
Flying over a grey cityscape. Mainz 2001.
Back in 2001, there was not much evidence that Jürgen Klopp was Liverpool's future saviour. He was barely known in Germany at the twilight of a disappointing playing career. Jürgen!
On the game show, the host says, Jürgen, a few small questions for you. What's your name? Who in Pretty Woman showed her beautiful legs?
Jürgen Klopp.
Which red-haired cartoon character annoyed their master, Eder?
Julia Roberts.
Mm-hmm. Helmut Kohl's wife is
Pumuckl.
Who is Germany's best-known porn actress?
Hannelore Kohl.
What is the Buddhist god called?
Teresa Orlovsky.
Who is the English heir to the throne?
Buddha.
Who did Mickey Rourke get it on with in 9.5 weeks, not only in front of the fridge? Prince Charles. Where did Robert Lemke hide the 5-mark piece in the programme, Was bin ich? In Kim Basinger.
Jürgen Klopp's managers at Mainz kept getting sacked. By 2001, they had run out of options and leaders. Facing relegation and in desperation, they decided to try something different.
Richtig!
Jürgen's disappointed as he leaves the game show, waving from his podium.
Jürgen Klopp became a manager by accident. Mainz, as was their wont, were once again struggling in the bottom of the second division, and Christian Heidel, who was the sporting director, had literally run out of options. And his big idea was, well, if this team is so difficult to coach, maybe they need to be coached by one of their own. So he approached Jürgen and he said, look, you're injured, your career's coming to an end, why not you try and save us as a manager? And Jürgen, by his own account, only thought a couple of seconds and then decided, okay, I'm going to do it. When he was presented to the local reporters, they all laughed. They thought this is a joke. But he immediately set about saving them with his, at the time, very innovative tactical ideas to do with zonal marking, pressing, playing without a sweeper, all things that were considered witchcraft. With the energy that he created and the ideas he put into place, Klopp managed to save Mainz.
The Bayern Munich job came up, and now Jürgen was being considered with the big hitters. Jürgen lost out to superstar Jürgen Klinsmann, but now they were being talked about in the same breath. There were now two great Jürgens of German football.
Probably actually for the best that they turned him down, because Bayern Munich are at odds with Jürgen Klopp, the football romantic, because Bayern are all-conquering. They are without peer in German football. And I wonder if he'd almost be bored by that.
Everything that I am, everything that I can do...
Jürgen couldn't control his emotion with a tearful goodbye.
You have allowed me to become...
Jürgen moved on to a club that was perhaps a better fit. Coincidentally, where the fans loved Jerry and the Pacemakers.
Images of Jürgen in front of the fans wearing a baseball cap. Aerial views of a European city, then a football stadium. In tall yellow letters, Borussia Dortmund, 2008.
He moved on then to the big version of the Mainz club to Dortmund, one of the biggest clubs in Germany with crazy supporters, but also a people club.
He manages to lead Dortmund to back-to-back titles. One of them includes the double. And then, of course, it all culminates with the run to the Champions League final in 2013.
His personality really carved out what we know of Borussia Dortmund today. As a football fan, regardless of who you supported, you watch this young team, fearless young team, just go and go and go.
Jürgen celebrating.
Dortmund's support is known worldwide. The atmosphere, the yellow wall, the submarine. And obviously, a couple of years before Liverpool came, he's obviously knocking the likes of Real Madrid out of tournaments. He took a team without spending huge amounts of money, and he's putting them up alongside Barcelona's, the Real Madrid's, AC Milan's, all the teams that had been doing well in Europe. Jürgen Klopp had took Borussia Dortmund there. He'd even knocked Bayern Munich off their perch.
Jürgen Klinsmann aus Stuttgart, dort geboren, Jürgen Klopp.
I managed once against Jürgen Klopp in the year 2008-2009 when I was Bayern Munich coach, and I think he won it.
A photo of Jürgen being held aloft.
If you go to both clubs today, they will tell you that everything that you see, their successes, the fact that Mainz is still in the Bundesliga, the fact that we see Borussia Dortmund as Bayern Munich's closest challenger and as a Champions League team, and this hipster sort of club, is all down to him.
Journalist Melissa Reddy. Flying over suburban areas of the city. Liverpool, winter 1991. A beaming Kenny Dalglish is shaking hands with John Barnes on the field. Celebrating fans wave red and white scarves.
We don't need to prove anything to anybody.
The club, if we stay together, we'll be successful. If we start showing divisions, we won't be.
The season following the 1990 title win seemed to be following the normal story. By Christmas, Liverpool were once again sitting top of the table. Then, on February the 22nd, Liverpool manager Kenny Dalglish suddenly resigned.
Dalglish's decision to retire a week before his 40th birthday took the football world completely by surprise.
I saw all the press, and the press said to me, "What do you think about the news?" And I said, "What news is that?" And they said, "Kenny's resigned."
You know, it's probably only subsequently you come to appreciate just how much strain and stress he was under. You know, holding the club almost on his shoulders in the aftermath of Hillsborough and being there for so many people.
It's a macho sport, so you can't show any weaknesses, any emotion. You know, you can't have mental health problems, you can't have those issues, because, you know, that was a sign of weakness. We would never have guessed that he was under any stress at all, because he never showed it whatsoever.
I've been in the front line for 20 years. Really, kind of reached a person that's pushed himself to the limit.
And then the title stopped for 30 years. Great managers came and went. We had huge highs. Istanbul, the best of the lot. But domestic dominance eluded us. It was Fergie time. United's titles came in a blur.
And that's the moment Old Trafford has been waiting for.
I'm still confident. I'm confident about every game we're going to.
The club said Houllier had not suffered a heart attack
but is undergoing cardiac surgery.
Only Mr. Ferguson can talk about the features, can talk about the referees, can talk about all these things. Nothing happened.
Maybe the balloon interferes with play.
The country's most successful club has fallen from glory.
Fans had made their feelings very clear.
Things can only get better.
They've been of help to the club means that Kenny Dalglish isn't the manager, not a problem.
Liverpool blown right out of the title picture.
It's criminal, really. All of us will take the blame and move on.
Steve McManaman.
It's quite tricky to be a Liverpool manager because the pressure of history is always on your shoulders. There's always somebody who's been better than you. There's always somebody who's won trophies. There's always someone who's won lots of trophies. There's always someone who's been more successful. So when you take the job, you then have to aspire to be, you know, Bob Paisley, Bill Shankly, Kenny Dalglish, and be serial winners. So the burden of the past is why it's difficult to be a Liverpool manager. But that's also the great part about playing for these teams, the history, because you know that the pressure is on you.
30 years is a long time, and there'd been quite a few near misses. 2014, obviously, I experienced it more than anyone. And there is times where the team or the club have not been in the right place, and you do get fans who lose belief. Being inside the club for an awful long time, and you'd have belief that eventually it will come right, but it's very difficult to pinpoint when and how.
In 2015, Jurgen Klopp took a break from management and worked in punditry.
Jurgen Klopp.
Everybody loved him.
The presenter says, a big heartfelt thank you on behalf of ZDF Sport and all of our colleagues.
He took a wee rest, so October 2015, we were very fortunate that he was convinced to come back and come back to Liverpool Football Club.
When he and Liverpool both decided to get together and start this adventure, I knew he's going to do well.
One of the first things he did, he made all the players come into Melwood and then brought the staff in one by one to say their names, describe their role at the club and just give some background information. And he said to the players, all these people dedicate their lives to make sure you have the best chance of winning.
Jurgen walked into his first press conference in 2015 and announced himself as the normal one. 5 years later, he would be known as Germany's greatest export.
Jose Mourinho, when he came, described himself as the special one. How would you describe yourself?
I'm the normal one, maybe, if you want this.
When he came in, he thought it was going to be a roller coaster. Well, it's the world's highest roller coaster, I think.
Yes, of course, it's surreal. I woke up this morning and I was manager, Liverpool FC.
Thumbs up.
When he was appointed, I think everybody was really excited.
The final thing to me to do is to introduce the new manager of Liverpool, Jurgen Klopp.
I think I met him quite soon after that, but I can't even remember. It's not like your wife, is it? You know, you remember the first time you met your wife, but I wasn't going to marry him.
I'm a totally normal guy. I'm the normal one, maybe, if you want this.
I think he endeared himself to the people when one of the first things he said was, I'm the normal one, because that's what the Liverpool people are. They want people just to be normal, very good at their job, but they don't need it slammed in their face every 2 minutes.
If we want, this could be a real special day. If we want.
When he speaks about the importance in life, he speaks more about life.
It's a special club, and if I had two very, very special clubs with Mainz 05 and Borussia Dortmund, and in this row, it's a perfect next step for me.
Scousers have got a certain character. And I'm supposed that, you know, when you talk about that character, it is quite one of humility, of a socialist ideology in terms of everybody being together, not arrogance in the terms of we are better than anybody else. And that is what Jurgen is all about.
Maybe we are considered as a top team, but we don't want to behave like a top team.
Liverpool as a city is not for superstars, and Liverpool as a club is not for superstars. So as much as it's a nice thing to say, I'm not a special one, I'm the normal one, that's a nice thing to say when you think you're special but you want people to like you. I really believe that that's what he believes.
From day one, he made everyone believe that they were about to go on a special journey. From that first press conference, he had everyone eating out of his hand. The way he carried himself, his charisma, he makes you believe that the way he's taking the club is the right way. And I was on board and all in from day one.
In 2015, Liverpool were a long way from being title challengers. Getting back into the top four was enough of an ambition. Getting the fans on side was step one.
I love football. All the Liverpool fans love football. So that's the thing we have together.
You have to change from doubter to believer. It's not so important what people think when you come in. It's much more important what people think when you leave. And please give us the time.
I didn't necessarily agree with the sacking of Brendan Rodgers when it happened. But, you know, I've met Jürgen before when he was Dortmund manager, so I thought it was a great appointment. And then you're just waiting for him to instill his style of football on Liverpool. And, well, it certainly worked, doesn't it?
That was brilliant.
I don't really watch that much German football, so I wasn't, like, completely sure, if I'm honest.
Everybody knows me, and I didn't change in 4 months.
As soon as he came, he did show that he wanted to be a part of it, and he threw himself into the way of life there.
Am I surprised that things like this can happen? No.
Not only on the pitch, but as well as off the pitch, his personality, what he does for Liverpool as a city, not just Liverpool Football Club. I'm quite happy and confident to say, yeah, I love Jürgen Klopp.
Because I'm never going to get a chance to ask you this again. Any chance I could get a hug?
That's probably the best second question I ever heard.
The big warm smile, first and foremost, and then you get the big warm cuddle.
The hug. You look like my F-beep doppelganger.
I just think he knows the history of the club. I think he knows, you know, what type of people support the club.
Hello.
He's got empathy towards the people. And then when you see him getting interviews, you know, he's very charismatic.
All three questions in one?
The warmth and the charismatic and the smile and stuff is Jürgen as a human being, and that's his personality.
Long time no see, yeah.
But don't worry about what's underneath that. There is a fierce drive, a winning mentality.
Tonight, we feel rubbish.
Say shit.
Shit.
You know, before I met him, I'm wondering, is he the same guy as you see on the camera? And he certainly is, and more.
Brilliant. Thank you.
He's one of the very few managers who actually expresses his personality. And I think he slots right in with the people of Liverpool and around the Northwest because he is the way he is.
Sometimes I'm sorry for this.
As a Liverpool fan, all you really want is for someone to come and embed themselves and, you know, get into the spirit of what we have as Liverpool fans.
Boom. Ooh, what was this? It was really good.
He makes you feel special and wanted and welcome. Imagine playing for him.
Describing my respect for the boys, how they do it, it's incredible.
I'm almost jealous of the Liverpool players because I come out of his office after a sit-down just talking about the game and management and day-to-day stuff that he does, and when I walk out of the training ground, I actually want to walk back in and I want to sit with him.
Do it, my friend.
I want to put a kit on and play for him and run for him and run hard, and that's the reason why the players are doing it for him.
I didn't get a lot of compliments. Usually people talk about me when I'm not around.
Success doesn't come from luck or just a cheery persona. Football is a multi-million pound industry. Jürgen's players are analysed, evaluated, scrutinised. The Melwood training ground was once a boot room. Now, it's a science lab.
We are in a phase in football where tradition and science are banging heads, and we haven't quite found the prototype of the perfect football specimen. We've definitely started to evolve from an endurance sport, and Liverpool, we've evolved the fastest team in the world, ostensibly, and you've got Mane, who you will be hard-pressed to find anybody that can stop and start as quickly as he can, anywhere. And also, he's very robust, plays every week, twice a week, doesn't get injured.
They recruit for their style, so they've obviously got a real connection between the recruitment and the first team staff, and they identify people around the world who are going to fit into the Jürgen Klopp way and the Jürgen Klopp system.
I think there was a lot made about Liverpool when he first came in, this counter-pressing, you know, this heavy metal football, like he mentioned this. On top of that, they've got, you know, immense quality, which is the biggest thing.
Within the industry, we say the biggest predictor of injury is previous injury. That became part of the recruitment mantra, so that in the recruitment policy, they looked for players specifically that hadn't been injured, that had shown the capacity through technology, through GPS tracking, to cover the high-speed distances that we need in a game, but then also has shown the ability to repeat that twice in a week. That's the Moneyball moment.
You have to come around with, you know, good ideas and make training sessions important and make them mean something for your games at the weekends and tell your players the right information. But I think if you can get on with them, if you feel as if you're one of them and they feel you're one of them and you're all in it together, then they'll run through a wall for you.
People just like him. He's likable, you know, because he's so funny, so charismatic, so energetic. And that's what you want from leaders. You don't want boring leaders, you know, that always talk in the same tone. No, you want people like him saying, that's what we're going to do now. We're going to go out there now and we're going to beat Barcelona.
In 2019, Klopp's Liverpool met Barcelona in the Champions League semi-final. The result would be game-changing.
Going into the game, being a football realist, I didn't think they'd get the goals to get to the final.
It's not the night for being really mouthy and half-time, score an early goal and all that shit. So it will be another really difficult game.
And the city's away! Good save! They score!
Divock Origi scored the first goal and then you felt the ground almost go to another level.
Alexander-Arnold. Why nailed him! Oh, it's him! Shaqiri.
You felt that Barcelona were crumbling.
Alexander-Arnold. He spotted that! They caught Barcelona napping!
Liverpool deserved to win. You know, the team did everybody very proud.
Liverpool were in the Champions League final after thrashing the mighty Barcelona. But they hadn't won anything yet.
A mural of Jürgen.
When I'm sitting in 4 years, I think we won one title in this time. I'm pretty sure.
In 2018, they came close, but lost to European serial winners Real Madrid. In 2019, they came even closer to the Premier League. They amassed an astonishing 97 points, but were still beaten by Man City. Jürgen Klopp still had no silverware. He was building a reputation for coming second, for losing. He badly needed a trophy. Going into the Champions League final, the pressure was on to finally deliver.
This club is in the best moment for a long, long time, and it will not end because one team has a point more.
At Liverpool, people started framing him as a bottler, as a loser of finals, as somebody who just could not make that final decisive step.
I said it a lot of times about my unlucky career. When I hear it, I think, yeah, people could see it like this, but I don't feel it.
When he's defiant, you can't help but be defiant. After the League Cup final in 2016, his words were, only silly idiots stay on the floor. And he said, we will be in many more finals, guaranteed. This team's progression just equals finals, and we have to learn to win them.
Madrid, June 2019.
Going into that Champions League final, it just felt so, so big because Liverpool had come close to winning trophies under Klopp and then had fallen at the last hurdle.
Liverpool score.
And that was why Madrid just felt so momentous because it wasn't just Liverpool winning the European Cup for the sixth time. It was ending a seven-year wait for any kind of silverware, and it was Klopp ending his wait for a first trophy with Liverpool with arguably the biggest one of the lot.
It was testimony to what Jürgen was wanting and what the club wanted, and you need to remember, they get 97 points that year as well, which isn't it to be sniped at either. So for him, it was a great season. For Liverpool, it was a great season.
Tonight, I'm so happy for the players. This is only the start for this group.
A couple of days later, he would go back to business and say, OK, what's next? That's just his character.
Liverpool 2019.
Anfield's agonising wait for the title will go into a 30th year.
We have more natural enemies than other clubs have. The reason is our history, how successful this club was. But we said long ago, we have to write our own history.
We've always been a club that competes for the domestic cups, and we've always had a real strong record in Europe. But you know, the great man Bill Shankly always said that the league's always your bread and butter.
The decisive thing about the 97 points was that we only took one off of Man City, and if we could have got another couple off them, we would have won the league. So we were that close, and it just proved that they were going in the right direction, where the older generation of Liverpool fans had been used to going.
He's so humble, he's so down to earth, but he's so driven, you know, and he's intense. And that intensity reflects on the pitch. I mean, that's what you get from your players. If you're high intensity as a manager, you can count on it that if the players buy into it, then you get that energy on the pitch. You get the energy on the pitch, you have the energy in the stadium. And then we talk about Anfield. Oh, my Lord.
Stands packed with singing supporters, waving flags and their Liverpool scarves. Now players at a training ground in the sunshine.
Perfection. Nothing else would do. When 97 points still doesn't win you a league, what do you do? Do you give up? Or do you go again?
When Liverpool missed out on the title to Manchester City by a single point, you know, the message was, this is our first chance to win the title, not the last chance.
As long as City is around with the quality they have, you need to be very, very close to perfection to win the Premier League.
They started the season with the thinking that they had to be perfect to beat Manchester City. And they played every single game like the title was on the line.
They've played phenomenal football, ferocious football.
Nobody could keep pace with. Nobody.
Their mentality was, we are winning this title.
You're looking in and thinking it's only a matter of time.
Once we got to 12 to 15 points ahead of them, I didn't think they'd catch us.
The only thing really stopping you from saying this is the year was the fact that you didn't want to tempt fate.
Jubilant fans dancing.
There was just this amazing outpouring of emotion at Anfield.
People filming the packed streets and waving flags on their phones.
We're going to win. The league was chorusing, and there was really that intoxication of nothing can take this moment away. Then obviously a global pandemic comes into the equation.
Soaring upwards from the pitch at Anfield to a satellite image of Britain, then the Earth rotating in space. Lockdown 2020.
The COVID-19 crisis spread across every country in the world, hitting communities, people. The life we took for granted was no more.
A virus spreading, planes grounded, trade stalling, and even sporting events cancelled.
From this evening, I must give the British people a very simple instruction. You must stay at home.
Even winning a league title after a 30-year wait didn't seem quite so important.
Whatever will be decided, we will respect, because we have all families, we have all parents, kids, friends. That there are some things that are more important than football, then I think we realize that in this moment.
That, I don't know many footballers who will lose their business, lose their homes, lose their jobs. So it's much more important in life.
I think everyone respected the fact of the situation, the pandemic worldwide, of course. But from an almost selfish point of view as a Liverpool fan and an ex-player and everyone connected to the club, it was a bit of a low moment.
Those strange, balmy days in April and May, the heroes were everyday people. In the supermarkets, the care homes, and the NHS. Liverpool players stayed at home, waiting patiently for the restart.
Morning, Graham. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Do you hear this, bro?
Start with singing.
Jurgen Klopp on a video call with his players, then a dad reading to his son from a book about the team.
While everyone was in lockdown, Liverpool players honed a few of their other talents. Andy Robertson perfected his free kicks. Roberto Firmino, the accomplished pianist. Oxlade-Chamberlain broke the internet with his dancing. A clearly excited James Milner was gardening. Slowly the restrictions lifted. Slowly we took our first tentative steps back into the world.
We live in a very similar area. The only thing you could do during the lockdown was to get out and exercise. You know, I'd see him go past the house one way and then he'd come back an hour later the other way, so he was putting the work in.
As lockdown continued, a global movement erupted. A protest sparked by the death of George Floyd in America. Demonstrations spread around the world, in major cities including Liverpool. The message? Black lives matter. They always have.
John Barnes kicking away a banana on the pitch.
30 years ago, keep your mouth shut and get on with it. You've got to have stiff upper lip and be stronger. So there wasn't a debate to be had about the injustices or how wrong it was. It was more to do with the fact that, well, this is what life is all about. You know, you go through challenges, you just got to get on with it, which is what black footballers were told.
On the football pitch, something special happened. Players back in training spontaneously took the knee in support of Black Lives Matter. Liverpool were amongst the first. When interviewed in German, Jurgen Klopp was clearly moved.
They spontaneously decided to do this. I've always been proud of the guys, but this was a really extraordinary moment. I was really proud because it was simply such an important message.
I think he would definitely not want credit for speaking his mind and thinking that that's encouraged others to do so.
What footballers will do is continue to take a knee, continue to talk about Black Lives Matter, and as I said, footballers can highlight it, but they can't change it.
Project Restart finally happened. It was game on. There were new rules, new regulations, and empty stadiums. Jurgen Klopp showed his emotional connection to the fans, finding the perfect words for the moment.
Football is back. There were times when we didn't know exactly if we will play again. And I said at the beginning, it will be completely different. But it's still football, and it's still for you. So that means we will be in the stadium, you will be at home.
Liverpool flags hanging from windows, then a fan opening his fridge, and others settling down in front of their TVs.
On the 25th of June, Chelsea beat Man City at a deserted Stamford Bridge. Liverpool players watched on TV on a night of wild celebrations. They were champions at last.
Players get to their feet and hug one another as Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain films them.
I was at home just watching it on TV. I was invited to go and be around the players and stuff, but I thought the right thing to do was to watch it at home with my family and let the players celebrate and enjoy themselves. There was no happier house in Formby than my house, let me tell you.
That was nice watching the games. You couldn't be anywhere else, could you? Champion!
A fan lifting his shirt, then others holding red flares up.
Maybe we were unfortunate that we weren't playing a game to win it ourselves there and then, but Chelsea, they were due to do us a favour anyway.
I think relief from waiting so long myself as a fan and as a player. Immensely proud, certainly for Jordan, someone who I played with, I knew what it would have meant to him. And just to watch, you know, what it meant to all them players and the staff around it. Brought back so many memories of when I've experienced them type of nights myself. So incredible scenes in the city, and it was just great to see.
I don't think I was in any fit state to speak to anybody that night.
An emotional evening.
Oh, for everybody, aye. But a happy one.
This meant more for fans who had waited 30 years. For everyone connected to Liverpool, Jurgen Klopp penned an open letter to pay tribute to the icons of the club.
Sir Kenny Dalglish is the soul of this club. Steven Gerrard is the legs. And there is no one who deserves this title more than he does.
It was very touching. I admit it got me emotional.
Liverpool, Premier League champions 2020. It felt like we were right there with them in the dressing room.
From footage of the players celebrating with the trophy to black and white photos of Jurgen Klopp in his younger days.
Jurgen Klopp, from Mainz to the top of the world. Not bad for the normal one.
The way he won over the people in Liverpool and the way he became one of them, it just deserves then the end result, meaning now this very special title.
He's come and took the pressure on the shoulders of one of the biggest clubs in the world. He's right up there with the best Liverpool managers and the best managers in the world, in fact.
I mean, within a year, and as it stands, the Champions League winners, the World Cup winners, the Premier League champions. Don't sound too bad, does it?
An image of a grinning Klopp with both his hands in the air.